So if I read this verse, I won't ask you to turn, because I got some other verses for you to turn to tonight. But if I read this verse to you in 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." That's a great clue as to what the Passover was, a picture, shadow, type, right? And it's plain that Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. So when we read about the Passover, we read certain elements of it that teach us that Christ is our Passover. Now, it's interesting that I would start in Numbers chapter 9 tonight with a study of the Passover. I see some heads shaking. Because you say we're supposed to go to where? Exodus 12. Smarty, who said that? Very good. Exodus chapter 12. Well, let's just do that for a second. I want to show you something in Exodus 12. But we're going to stay in Numbers, because Numbers chapter 9 is interesting to our understanding. I'll just whip through a couple. I usually have a PowerPoint presentation here for this, so we're going to wander along. But Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt." Now, do you remember what I read in Numbers 9? The Lord spoke unto Moses in the wilderness. Well, we're in Egypt. So we began the Passover in Egypt. But then we kept it in the wilderness the first time. All right? So we're in Egypt. "This month shall be unto you a beginning of months." See that? "It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, the Egyptians had been in bondage for a long time to the Egyptians. They had been slaves. So they were beholden to the Egyptian culture, economy, and you name it, and especially the Egyptian calendar. So they were governed by the Egyptians, everything that they did, and the Egyptian calendar was different than the Jewish calendar would become. But God is now calling His people out distinctively against, or opposed, or in contrast to the nation of Egypt. "This is the beginning of months to you. This is a new day for you. This day will mark you out as my people." So the great story of the Passover, you move on down, it's the story of a lamb. You look at verse 3, "Every man a lamb." You see that in the middle? Takes it on the 10th day, and then move on down to verse 4. At the end, "Your count for the lamb," and then 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." And you see the progression. We've heard this before. In verse 3, it's a lamb. In verse 4, it's the lamb. And in verse 5, it's your lamb. And so you see the nation of Israel, the people were to take a lamb on the 10th day, keep it until the 14th day, and on the 14th day they would kill it, verse 6, in the evening. And the blood was to be put on the doorpost, and the angel, the death angel, would come and see the blood. "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." So, yeah, you know the story. But God had more to say about that. And if you look down in verse 14, look at what He says. "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." You shall keep it. Look at let's look down to verse 40 in Exodus 12. "Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is a night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations." God was serious I want you to remember the foundation of your deliverance is redemption by the blood of a lamb. You got to remember that. This is integral to your marking out as my people, that you have been redeemed. You are a, he would say later on in Exodus, you are redeemed, a peculiar people unto me. Sounds good. I like that. All right. So, moved to Exodus 13. Verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten, that you came out in the month Abib. Now, Abib, it's called Abib in the Pentateuch, but later on it will be the month Nisan. And he says unleavened bread here, but the Passover was essentially the first day of a longer feast, which was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we won't study the feast, but the Passover was first. The very first thing we would do as we marked out the beginning of our new year in the 14th day of the first month is we would observe the great deliverance of God out of Egypt. Our salvation was to be remembered. Do we have a time? We have a time, scripturally speaking, that we remember the great foundation of our deliverance. When is it? First day of the week at the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, right? Absolutely. A friend of mine said, he told me this. He said, I don't see where you have to do it every week. And I said, well, let me ask you this. I might have shared this with you before. I said, at your meeting, and we'll take our meeting for example as well. We come together in there, and Dave might lead that Sunday, and he stands up and opens in a hymn, right? And then he might do some announcements and take some prayer requests, and then we have some special music, and then we sing another hymn. And then whoever the speaker is that morning gets up to speak. Is that meeting in there anywhere in the Bible? We obviously have liberty, and we observe biblical principles in that meeting. We sing unto the Lord. But that meeting that we have done for years every Sunday, to see it laid out in the Bible, and I told my friend that. I said, you do that every Sunday, but you have no scriptural sanction for it. But I'm not opposed to it because you observe biblical principles in your liberty in Christ. And you have decided before God that we will order our lives this way in honor of God. And we do that every Sunday. But I said this. I said, you do have a biblical sanction in the Bible to remember the Lord. This, as often as you do this, this do in remembrance of me. And you're going to say that what I do is more important than what the Lord has said specifically. Now we can get into how we observe it. But we do have a scriptural sanction for that. I thought I would throw that in. We're talking about the Passover. But the connection you cannot get away from. So, let's go to Numbers 9. And we'll lay some heavy stuff. Some heavy stuff on ourselves here for Wednesday night. It's been a wild day. Take a breath. All right. So, you notice we said, Numbers 9:1, that this was the Passover in the wilderness of Sinai. So this is the first Passover observed outside the land of Egypt. The nation of Israel, we'll see this again, or we actually see this spelled out for us in the book of Leviticus 23. I know I'm laying a lot on you, but Leviticus 23 has all the feasts. The whole year of the nation of Israel were laid out around their holy days. Okay? So, let me tell you how I came to appreciate this little study here. I was studying the book of Numbers, and I have been for a couple of years now. You can see it's barely paying off. But anyway, that was a joke. But anyway, I read about this Passover, and it occurred to me that, you know, you just don't see the Passover that many times in the Old Testament, do you? No, they were supposed to do it every year, right? Every year. You only see about seven in the whole Old Testament. And then what we said last time we were here, by the time you get to the book of John, it's not the Lord's Passover. It's the Jews' Passover. I'm going through the motions. So I'm not saying they didn't observe it, but you really only call out a couple of Passovers, relatively speaking, throughout the whole Old Testament. But they were supposed... It is a night to be much observed throughout all your generations. And you were supposed to even tell your kids why you're doing it. When your kids said, why do we do this? It's the night the Lord delivered us from Egypt. But they didn't do it that much. If they did it, they didn't do it very effectively. And so, I come to Numbers chapter 9, and it seems to me as if the Lord... Now, Numbers 9 is important, because Numbers 9 was a test of faith for the nation of Israel, a real test of faith. And they flunked royally. They flunked really bad. But... what I think I see here is part of their flunking the test of their faith royally was the fact that they were already forgetting to do what God had said. It's as if the Lord has to remind them the very first year. It's been a year. This is the second year out of Egypt. I'm already reminding you. Keep the Passover. So I want to give you three things about the wilderness. We got 10 minutes to do three things. Three things about the wilderness as it pertains to the story here. Number one, we often forget in the wilderness. Life can be a wilderness sometimes. We often forget, right? If I didn't have these, I'd be hopeless tonight. Okay? Secondly, we often foul up. That's started with F, sounded good, foul up. Anybody ever foul up? Okay. Thirdly, God is always faithful. Faithful in His principles and faithful in His presence. First, we often forget. We often forget. Why do we always have to be reminded of stuff? Because we forget. Psalm 106, turn there with me, please. We'll tell you a little story about the nation of Israel in the wilderness. Psalm 106, and we'll start at verse 9. Because this is the story. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so He led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Yeah. And He saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed His words. They sang His praise. They were really having a joyous time for what God had done for us. Next verse. They soon forgot His works. Neither waited for His counsel. And we can so soon forget. This is where this comes in. I know some of you guys may not be able to see this. This is a little chart. It's not original with me. But this is 100% of the information you might retain tonight. Let's just suppose you get 100% of the information that I give you here tonight. This is the percentage of information. This is the number of days you will retain it. Okay? So here we go. 60 days. Days right here. So I'm giving you all this information tonight. In about 60 days, you ain't going to remember none of it. Now you're probably saying, Mark, 60 minutes. Right? That's the way I feel. But let me get my cheat sheet here. Let me show you something here. This is very interesting. If in about, I say a week, you get a reminder of this information, the curve's not so drastic. And in about 60 days, you still got half of it. If in another several days, I get another reminder, the curve again is not near as drastic, and you've retained. And you keep getting reminders, and the more you're going to retain of the information I give you. You ever heard of the learning curve? This was developed by the same guy. This is called the forgetting curve. A guy named Ebbinghaus. Seriously. I didn't come up with this. The forgetting curve. If you're not reminded of stuff, it doesn't stay with you. See why the Lord is so practical to say, this do in remembrance of me. And examine your heart and think on me. And think on me this way. Very simple for, you know, goofballs like us to do that, to gather in His name. I could give you all the passages in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 5:15, remember you were a servant. Deuteronomy 7:18, thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh. 8:2, thou shalt remember in the way which the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy is the second law in constant verses. I could read them to you. Where Moses is saying, remember this. Remember what the Amalekites did. Remember what God has done unto you. Remember you were a stranger in the land of Egypt, and so on and so forth. Turn to Deuteronomy 16. I'll give you an example. Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God, for in the month of Abib did the Lord thy God bring thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place His name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days thou shalt eat it, unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. I want you to remember. I want you to remember the great foundation. In this wilderness, we often forget, but God has given us, He has given us the provision for remembering Him, for what's really important spiritually in our lives, for what's really important in reality in our lives. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, absolute preeminent, that in all things He might have preeminence, as Paul said, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, that I might be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ. That was His supreme desire. So secondly, in the wilderness, we often foul up. Let's look at our passage again in Numbers 9. We got a problem. Got a problem. You see, we set these feasts out so nicely. And we say, you're going to remember it. You're going to do it every year. And this is how it's going to be. We read the ideal in the Bible. Right? We read the ideal of how it's supposed to be in the Bible. How everything's supposed to be. And then guess what? You put a bunch of people trying to practice it. Right? And then that's when you see, what happens now? The church was barely old, and in Acts chapter 6, you already have them fussing and fighting. How to properly minister to the widows. You had conflicts. I know there's no conflicts here, but there are conflicts in other places. Okay? So we'll just, what are you laughing at? So we'll just study on that. So here's what happens. Verse 6, there were certain men who were defiled by a dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came for Aaron on that day. Those men said, "Man, we are defiled by a dead body, wherefore we kept back that we may not offer an offering unto the Lord in His appointed season among the children of Israel." So right off the bat, we have a dilemma. They can't keep the Passover. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What do we do about these guys? They fouled up. They came across a dead body. Anybody ever fouled up? Yep, this world is full of crazy stuff. This world is full of stuff that tempts me and makes me foul up. This world is full of stuff that indirectly causes me to foul up. This world is full of stuff that fouls up my life. And it doesn't, it's unintentional, but it's like that. And we have these moral and ethical dilemmas constantly, and these decisions we have to make about life. Issues like confronting others, confessing, or trying to discern whether somebody really has confessed, or whether our confession is legitimate. Issues of forgiveness. How do I forgive someone who's wronged me? Issues about reconciliation. How do I reconcile? How do I restore? How do I give restitution? How do I deal with my conscience over matters? How do I deal with consequences of sin in my life, in the lives of those around me, and constant things that are bombarding us as Christians and how to discern? And so they come to Moses with this, we came near a dead body, but we want to keep the Passover. Now, Moses could have done one of two things. First of all, he should have said, oh, no sweat, come on in. Right? Well, that certainly wouldn't have been honoring to God. Or he could have said, hey, no way. You messed up. Your history. Later on in the book of Numbers, astoundingly, there's a man who's picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And Moses again consults God, and they stone him with stones. Different context. Different issue. But here's what happens. Moses says, verse 8, stand still and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. I like this. I can't comment on this verse better than this. Mr. McIntosh says, lovely attitude. Moses had no answer to give, but he knew who had. He waited on him. This was the very best and wisest thing for Moses to do. He did not pretend to be able to give an answer. He was not ashamed to say, I don't know. Sometimes we just don't know. If you'd asked me certain questions about certain issues of life 15 years ago, Buddy Rowe, I had the answer. I had them down. This is what God says. Doesn't matter. But God still says it. But Mark has realized he didn't know as much as he thought. And it's the same with so many of us, that we just don't know. And so God is going to give Moses an answer to what happens when we foul up. And the principles are this. God, remember this. God is always faithful. He is faithful. We said He's faithful in His principles. First of all, notice what He says. Speaking to the children of Israel, saying, if any of you, man of your posterity, verse 10, shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, you shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. The 14th day of the second month, you shall keep it. God said, if you are willing, in grace, you may keep the feast on the 14th day of the second month. God, essentially, I won't say change the law, but God in grace showed that the willing heart, I will receive of the willing heart worship, but we will do it still by my principles. They'll leave none of it till morning, no bone broken of it. The same thing He had said for the first month. All the ordinance of the Passover, they shall keep it. God follows that by saying, while I said that, if there's someone who can keep it the first month and who does neglect to keep it, that I won't be pleased with. Our God always acts in grace, but He acts in righteousness, holiness, forgiveness to the confessor, and He desires the unity of His people. So God is faithful. When we foul up, if we are sincere in our repentance and sincere about our worship toward Him. Secondly, He is faithful always in His presence. And even though the children of Israel were hard-headed, look at what it says. Verse 15 through 23, it tells us that when the cloud, we'll just read it as it is, on that day the tabernacle was reared up. The cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until morning. And so God was always there with His people, a cloud by day and a fire by night. A lot of times you feel alone, you fouled up, you're in the wilderness, you're out of Egypt, but you're not quite to Canaan. You're kind of in the wilderness, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to respond to this issue. God is faithful in our dilemmas. He's always near. The psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Andre Crouch wrote a song years ago. He said, I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. That's good stuff. In the wilderness, we often forget. So God gives us means to be reminded. In the wilderness, we often foul up. But God is gracious in His provision for us if our hearts are willing to get before Him. And God is faithful in His principles always. He won't compromise His righteousness and holiness. And He's faithful in His presence to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ who loved us. Yes, Father, He's faithful. He is faithful and just. He is faithful and true. He sits at Your right hand and ever lives to make intercession for us. We thank You, Father, for a God who indeed is so faithful, who will not change, who will bring us unto Himself in a coming day. And we long for it, our Father. Father, we pray for Your blessing and Your strength for the remainder of this week. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.